Good morning. Our one word this week is the word holiness. Good morning. Let's try that again. Our one word this week is holiness. And I hope you are joining us in our one word study. And if you don't have a copy of the devotional book, let me know afterwards and I will get you one, because I know sometime it may be for whatever reason, you may be just joining us here in the middle, kind of middle of the year, the spring of the year, and want to get involved in that. We'll be glad to get you a copy. And this week, we are able to read some exciting and important articles on holiness. Holiness is one of those terms that can be somewhat challenging. Still not on. Wireless number four up there. Testing. Testing. All right. Now I'm on. All right, holiness is one of those terms that can be somewhat challenging to understand. But this week we had something significant happen with our church family. And I'm not trying to embarrass the Bolin family, but I want to congratulate them on being able to adopt Damon and Elijah into their family, these two precious young boys, and Josh and Penny, and their son Eli are so excited about that. And what's neat about that, number one, we're thankful for that example that they're showing of adopting and loving these children. But as I thought about that and that happening this week, and how that event and them fostering them and now adopting them and the whole process of adoption, how it has totally changed the future for those boys and also for Josh and Penny and their family. You think about these two young boys and what difference is going to be in their life because of that relationship now with their parents. And really that's a great illustration of what holiness is. You see, we become holy because of our relationship that we have with God. We have been adopted into His family. So Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 that we've been adopted. And we've been made children of God through Christ. And because of this adoption, we are then holy because we have a unique relationship with God. And so the sinful, the wretched, becomes holy. What we actually can never think about us becoming pure, sinless, the child of God. You see, holiness is us being the unthinkable. It's us being holy and pure. And what we need to realize about holiness is that holiness changes everything. Just like for these two young boys, Damon and Eli, their life is going to be completely changed from this point forward because they've been adopted. So we need to realize that when we're adopted into the family of God, that holiness changes everything. I want to illustrate that through the pages of Scripture, that holiness has always changed everything. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, in one of the main messages of the Old Testament throughout it, the Bible says what He called Israel to be, "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy." Be holy. For I am holy. Our Lord is holy. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah would picture that heavenly throne room scene, and you have the seraphim crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." In the book of Revelation, when John is able to see behind the veil and see heaven, he sees the 24 elders and the innumerable host of angels crying out to the Lord, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, God is holy. And because we can be in a relationship with Him, because He has called us into a relationship with Him, we ourselves then can be holy. In fact, we see that this holiness has always changed whatever it touches. For example, in the book of Genesis, we read that on the seventh day after God had made the world, He rested. He rested on that. And we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. It's the first time the word holy is used. God made it holy because on that day He rested, because it was a special day. And so in Exodus chapter 20, when God is giving the Ten Commandments, He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, seeing all that is in them, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now in the Old Testament, God made that Sabbath day a day of worship. It was a part of the Ten Commandments. Keep it holy. Why was it different than all the other 7 days in the week? Because God decreed it was special. Because of the special relationship God had with it, God made it holy. In the story of Moses, you're familiar with this story. He's out in the desert. And in Exodus chapter 3, he's out tending the livestock. And he's just a shepherd and a farmer. And he's out there, and all of a sudden he sees a bush burning that is not consumed. And he goes over to that bush, and the voice of God starts speaking to him out of this fiery bush. And it says, take off your sandals, because you're standing on holy ground. Now, what was different from that ground, from all the other ground that Moses could look at? What was unique about that ground, those rocks and the sand and the dirt that was underneath his sandals, so that he had to take off his sandals? Because God was there. What was different about that bush that was not consumed by the fire? God was there. What made that ground holy was the special relationship with God. You see, holiness changes whatever it touches. Later on, we read in the book of Leviticus all about Israel. And God takes the nation of Israel, a slave people, out of bondage from the land of Egypt. And really, their whole journey is about holiness and making them, Exodus chapter 19, a holy nation, verses 5 and 6. They are to be a special people, a holy nation. Therefore, everything about Israel is about how they are unique. They are special. Why? Because they are God's special people. You see, holiness changes everything. So in the book of Leviticus, we find that holiness is found 87 times. And we often read that repeated phrase, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. And so we find that Israel had holy mountains. They go to Mount Sinai, and that mountain is designated holy. And they could not for 3 days. They could not go into their wives. They could not do significant things. They couldn't touch the mountain. They had to do ways to prepare. And then on the third day, the Lord descended upon the mountain with a great cloud and with thundering and the booming voice. And they were so afraid of God. And Moses goes up on the mountain. What made that mountain, Mount Sinai, different than all the other mountains around? God was on the mountain. And God gives them a law, which in many ways is similar to other laws of the time. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Really more properly said, thou shalt not commit adultery, shalt not lie, not covet, keep the Sabbath day holy, no graven images. What made that law different than all the other laws? What made that law special? What made it the holy law? Because it was related to God. They have sacrifices that are common lambs, or bulls, or sparrows, and doves. These common animals that become holy sacrifices when they're offered to God. You see, holiness changes everything it touches. So it can make these common animals that were taken from the field, the best of your flock, and offered at the temple as a holy sacrifice. He takes average men, an entire tribe, the Levite tribe, and He takes all the sons of Aaron and his sons, and they are named holy priest. And the Levites are to be the holy tribe to serve in the temple. What made them different? Because of their unique function, their unique role as a holy priest. And all this comes down to the Israel, them being a holy people. You see, holiness changes everything. And so God told David and Solomon built it to build a holy temple. Moses built a tabernacle. When you think about that temple, is going to be built out of wood and gold and bronze and all these common things. The tabernacle is going to even be built out of leather skins and basically like a tent, a glorified tent to be sure, with a lot of expensive precious metals, but it's still a tent. What made that tent, what made that temple different? You think about the emblems in that tabernacle or in that temple. The Ark of the Covenant was built by master craftsmen. He took wood, he overlaid it with gold, and then they put that Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. And only one man could go into it once a year, the high priest, and offer blood upon the mercy seat, the top of it. What made that common wood box layered with gold holy? What made it sacred so that the presence of God was there? A relationship with God. You can go down and see the Ark of the Covenant at the Discovery Park of America. You can go down and see the Ark of the Covenant at all kinds of other places. I saw it at a hotel convention center in Gatlinburg last year. You can see the Ark of the Covenant in all kinds of places. But you know what? You don't get struck dead for touching it. You know, you don't have to leave it in the Holy of Holies. You don't have to carry it on poles. It's just a box covered with, probably painted this time, gold. But what made the real Ark of the Covenant special was because God put a special relationship upon it. What made the altar that set out in front of the temple special? Regular bronze altar. What made it special? Because God consecrated it as holy. What made the entire temple special? You see, there's nothing special per se about the Temple Mount today that Muslims and Jews and Christians want to fight over. But in the ancient times, what made that mount, what made that temple special was the unique relationship with God. Then think about Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 33 and 35, we read about one of the demons. And when Jesus came into the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." When Jesus came onto this earth, He was the Holy One of God. He was holy. What made Jesus special? He was God's Son in the flesh. And so when He entered this world, everything about Jesus was special, wasn't it? His holy birth, all that went into His holy miracles, and Him being able to do miracles, to heal the blind, to allow the lame to walk, to allow the dead to be raised. Why? Because He was holy. He was the Son of God. And then you think about Jesus. He takes two common pieces of wood. We might think about them more like railroad cross ties or something of a harsh, rough cut wood. Not valuable wood. And He takes these two pieces of wood and makes them into one of the most holy constructed pieces of wood, made of wood ever. The cross of Christ. He makes two pieces of wood holy because the Son of God died. and the blood that flowed from His wounds upon the cross consecrates that ground. So that's holy ground. And they put His body in a tomb. It's a holy tomb because of its unique relationship to God. And on the Sunday morning, the first day of the week, His body comes out of that tomb. You see, Jesus was different because holiness changes everything it touches. And then you think about the early church. And in the early church, you have the idea that in Acts chapter 2, you have people who were sinners who hear the gospel message preached by Peter, and they respond to that message. Kelly, you're going to have to click forward to these now as I go. It's not clicking. In Acts chapter 2, you have people who heard the message, "You have crucified the Son of God," and they responded. And you have Jewish people from all the nations there represented, and you have average common people who become holy. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, writing about the church, says this in verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water, referring to their baptism with the word, so that they might be presented to the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. People want to talk about, well, the church has all kinds of problems and things like that. We need to remember, church does have problems, and that's the part of the human representation of the church. God made the church holy. In its ideal, in its plan, in its design, the church is holy and without blemish. And one day, on the great day of resurrection and the great day of judgment, the church will be presented to God holy and without blemish. In fact, we can read in Hebrews chapter 12 about how the church, in verses 22 and 23, is this innumerable council, and about how it is enrolled in heaven. You see, the church is holy. And then you think about in the New Testament, really all through the Bible, what God does when He takes two common people, we call them two lovers, man and woman who fall in love, two ordinary people, and they want to spend the rest of their life together. And God, in a creative act, God unites them in marriage. And what makes them different from everybody else out there? They are united in holy matrimony. And they leave, they come in, two individuals, and they leave married by the creative act of God. By faith, we believe that God unites them together. And they are now, Genesis chapter 2, 24, one flesh. One flesh. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus says, "What God has put together, let not man separate." Let not man put asunder, as the old version says. Think about marriage. What makes marriage different? What makes two men, a man and woman, different from every other couple out there? They are married together. They're holy. Holiness changes everything. I mean, think about our worship. We're offering these songs this morning. What makes these songs different? We're gathered here to sing. What makes this unleavened bread and this grape juice? You may have grape juice in the morning for breakfast. You may eat some crackers, unleavened crackers, with your chili tonight at supper. But it's different than what you ate and drank this morning, isn't it? It may be the same physical item, but it is different because it is consecrated in a holy way unto God. You see, holiness changes everything. And what makes something holy? Its relationship to God. You see, marriage is holy when it's related to God because God has decreed it holy. The emblems are holy because God has decreed them holy. A sermon is holy not because of the preacher, but because God has decreed His Word holy. The Bible is holy not because it is on this paper. It costs a lot of money. You might get a really expensive Bible, or you can get a $6 Bible at Walmart. But the Bible is still holy because of its relationship to God. And then the last one, and this is really what the whole sermon's about. I want you to understand that the last thing that you need to understand that holiness changes is you. You see, holiness changes everything it touches. And really what makes something holy, as we've looked at all these illustrations, we're all common and there's all these common things out there. But what makes something holy is when it is in a special relationship with God. And thus, we can read, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, but God shows His love for us in that while, or Romans chapter 5, I'll go to Ephesians 4 in a minute. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. See, we were sinners, but Christ died for us. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. You see, this is why in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, God says, you be holy in all your conduct, because He who called you is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. See, the real question, has holiness changed me? I see how it changed Israel. I see how it changed the church. I see how it changed Jesus. I even see how it sings the songs we sing and the words on these pages, the emblems that we eat. But has it changed me? Am I different in everything I do? Am I different in the way I handle my money? Am I different the way I interact with my wife and my kids? Am I different in the way I treat my fellow man at work? Am I different because I am holy? I'm holy. Do I abstain from certain entertainment? Do I keep certain words out of my mouth? Do I avoid lustful thoughts? Because I am holy. You see, holiness changes everything. And holiness comes from our relationship with God. So if you're in a relationship with God and you haven't been changed, you're not different, it's not God's problem. It's your problem. Because God changes everything He touches. He makes everything He touches special and unique and holy. And so if you don't recognize your specialness, your holiness, and if you aren't different, the problem is with you. If you need to reconcile and deal with that problem, then we invite you to come. If you need to put Christ on in baptism to become holy, or if you need to rededicate your life to put sin out of your life and to ask God to make you holy, then please come as together we stand and sing.